Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis, coming to you from Tehran. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, the state of Minnesota in the United States has shut down and 23,000 state employees are out of work. Now, this is the governor who is a Democrat, and the Republican-led legislature have locked horns and neither side seems to be budging. The Democrats say that the Republicans would prefer to protect Minnesota's riches and prevent him from having to pay an increase in taxes than to take care of the majority of Minnesotans. Now, the Republicans deny the charge, but during this ping-pong gang of words, the state is shut down and the average working-class Minnesotan is paying the price.
The government of the U.S. state of Minnesota has been shut down after its lawmakers failed to reach agreement on the state budget before a Thursday midnight deadline. The broad shutdown, which began on Friday, means around 23,000 of roughly 36,000 state employees will be laid off. This after the Democratic governor and Republican legislative leaders failed to agree on a budget. The government shutdown in Minnesota is expected to drag on for days, as authorities say talks probably won't be taking place until after the July 4th Independence Day holiday. Demonstrators have already protested the government shutdown in Minnesota. The impasse has parallels with the budget dispute between President Barack Obama and the U.S. Congress.
Nobody wants to see the United States default.
With fiscal tensions running high among state governments from Wisconsin to Ohio, more shutdowns are expected across the country. The U.S. government currently runs a $1.5 trillion budget deficit. The public debt was $14.3 trillion on May 31st, up from $10.6 trillion when Obama took office in January 2009. Congress has voted 10 times to raise the U.S. debt limit since 2001. An increase of $2.5 trillion would only allow government to operate until 2013. The U.S. debt is tipped to rise to $19.6 trillion by 2015. The U.S. government could default on its debts on August 2nd if there is no deal by then. Democrats and Republicans have battled in state houses across the country over how to close deficits. Republicans, who control the House of Representatives, refuse to raise the country's debt ceiling unless Democrats agree to a package of spending cuts and no tax hikes. Many economists believe that failing to resolve the crisis could throw the U.S. headlong into another downward spiral, a second dip of a much-feared double-dip recession.
Well, I'd like to welcome our guests to the program from London, Professor of Binary Economics, Mr. Rodney Shakespeare. And from Irvine, California, Professor of California State University, Mr. Paul Sheldon Foote. And out of Washington, from the Oppenheimer & Company Incorporated, Roland Elmore. Thank you so much for being with us, all of you. Now, starting, first of all, in London, is what is happening in Minnesota a struggle between the haves and the haves not, Professor?
Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, is under a banker occupation. And the banker occupation and a tiny financial elite are essentially sucking up wealth from the mass of the population. And this is going to go on and getting worse. It's true of every state in the United States, with perhaps one exception, which I'll come to later. So we're talking about rich-poor, but we're really talking about a financial elite, which is a parasite, and which has got control, not just of financial control, but actually has political control. Until there's an uprising against that elite and its practices and its control over politics, there will be no solution, and this situation in Minnesota and the other states over time will get worse.
How do you see it, Mr. Foote? Do you think that what we're looking at in the United States is it seems that more and more pressure is being put on the shrinking middle class and less pressure on the rich? Do you agree with that or not? And if so, why would that be the case?
No, I totally disagree with that. And quite to the contrary, it's just the opposite.
So pressure is being put on the rich right now?
Minnesota has... Hello? Minnesota has three tax brackets for its personal income. I would prefer a flat rate tax for everyone, but three is not bad. It ranges from 5.35% to 7.85%. I live in California, which is a fiscal disaster. We have seven tax brackets ranging from 1% to 10.3%. The problem has not been failure to tax the wealthy. The wealthy are taxed quite well, thank you, and pay a large percentage of taxes in this country. The problem has been the politicians have found it very easy to either have zero taxes or close to zero taxes for the majority of people in this country. They then proceed to vote for all kinds of bond issues, which can never be issued, and all kinds of spending increases. Very irresponsibly. So I am exactly in the opposite end from Professor Shakespeare on this issue.
So you feel that the majority of the problem that is taking place, for example, in Minnesota, is mostly from the legislative branch or being able to implement a lot of what they promised to implement? Is that what you're saying, Mr. Foote? Can you hear me, Mr. Foote?
Well, the legislative branch was... the legislative branch was elected to reduce taxes and spending, whereas the voters in their wisdom also elected a Democrat as governor who has the opposite agenda.
Okay.
And so we have both views very well represented in Minnesota.
All right, well, let me turn to Washington and get our other guests in on this. Now, Mr. Omar, how do you see it? What exactly is going on in Minnesota in your perspective?
Well, you know, what's going on in Minnesota is pure theater. Let's look at the reality of this. Minnesota is a proxy state for a very big battle that's been going on for many years, and it's coming to its tipping point. The battle is simply this. Is this government going to be one of large government control, almost like a social state in the sense, or is it going to be a much smaller government? And this is an ideological battle that has been restoked when President Obama came in office. You're seeing the same battle across the line all throughout. The rich are taxed very, very heavily. I think the top 5% taxpayers pay 40% of the taxes. 47% of taxpayers do not pay taxes. You can tax the rich 100%. There isn't enough money to fix the problems. We need to go back to our means. We have to live within these means. Do you realize if the U.S. government went back to 2008, now that's 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, to that spending level, we would not have a deficit. This is an ideological battle between the Democrats and their populism versus the more conservative fiscal spenders and so forth. This is all about the role of government. That's the battle.
Okay, what about it, Professor Shakespeare? If the U.S. went back to the spending techniques and the way they were dealing with things just a few years ago, they would not have a deficit. You're
well,
the economist.
That's exactly what Rolien Amore and Paul Foote are saying. They're going back to a more traditional view, which is that all you have to do is to cut back the spending programs and the problem solves itself. But things have changed, particularly over the last 20 years. And what you now have is what has been called a rigged market capitalism, but in fact, it is a financial elite endlessly creating more and more money. upon which compound debt is interest. In the case of Minnesota, the debt at the moment is $41 billion and is immediately going up to $46 billion. And by the time they've got through these negotiations, it will be up to $56 billion. Now, it is banker occupation. And unless you challenge that, which is the whole of the economy today now runs on the postulate that the more you lend at compound interest, the better you are off. The fact of the matter is that the cities of the United States are now going bankrupt. I mean, someone who used to work with Rollin & Morey, Meredith Whitney, who, by the way, was sacked by Rollin's company. I hope it wasn't Rollin who sacked her. She's been pointing out the terrible debt situation of the cities. The towns are in debt. The states are in debt. And there's only one state in the USA which is not in debt, and that's North Dakota. And I'll come to that perhaps in a minute.
Okay. What about that, Mr. Foote? What the professor is saying about that? What is the main problem? Do you see the banks playing any role in what is going on in the United States right now?
The major role played by Wall Street is they contribute large sums of money to candidates for governor and for state treasurer in state races simply because they want to get the investment banking fees for doing the underwritings for the issues. However, they did not vote for the issues. In California, it's almost impossible for someone to come up with a bond issue that's not passed. The state treasurer cannot possibly issue every single one of them because, fortunately, the rating agencies and the investors see through it and would not possibly finance every single stupid idea that comes out of politicians. And so you can't blame the bankers. I have no love at all for Wall Street bankers, but you cannot blame them. They didn't vote for the bond issues. They didn't support the bond issues. They're simply trying to underwrite some of them.
And what's your take on that, Mr. Morey? Do you see any role in the financial institutions and what is happening in the individual states and in general in the country?
No, not at all. Look, why don't you do a little simple math? Take a look at two things, the rate of inflation and the rate of economic growth. Government spending on all levels, from municipal to state to federal, have been growing by an amount greater than that. You can't keep spending more money than you make. It's a very simple law. It's one that I'm sure almost every American family understands. That is the reality. When you don't have the money, you cannot keep spending in deficit. Merely look at Greece, look at Spain, look at all these countries that just cannot afford spending that's way beyond their means from monetization. You know, talk about tax rates. I find it amusing. Studies have shown traditionally that lower tax rates always produce much more revenue in there. We're seeing in a few states like Indiana and Texas, they have got much lower income or even no income tax rates next door to states with higher income tax rates and so forth. These states are prospering. The state of Texas has created over half the jobs, all of them that have been have come on board, new jobs, in the past 3 years. This is not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence.
So you're saying that one thing that will help solve the problem... Let me just jump in here, Mr. Morey. So you're saying one of the answers to the problem is actually lowering the taxes.
Well, that's what Ronald Reagan did in 1980, and he overcame a recession that was just as great as the one we've just had. Not only that, by his third year in recovery, or second year in recovery, where we are now, the U.S. economic growth is under 2%. It was 8% under Ronald Reagan. We had record revenues. More people worked. More businesses made products. More investment. And you know what? When more people work, that is a larger pool, a larger pot of taxpayers. It works every time. Do you think it's coincidence that after the breakup of the Soviet Union, countries like Georgia and some of the other Soviet states, they went to flat tax rates of 12%, 10%, and their economies boomed? Okay. I mean, this is not rocket science.
All right. Well, you've brought up a little bit. I don't want to get off subject. You've brought up Reaganomics. Okay. And I definitely remember during that time and the pressure that was on the average working person. But let me switch back over to London now. And Professor Shakespeare, give me your take on what has just been said.
Look, first of all, that was 30 years ago, and Rollins missed the point that things have changed very much. Secondly, he mentioned the countries after the fall of communism. Well, they had a particular lift, and then, in fact, money got lent and lent until house prices were 10, even 15 times average earnings, and they've had property collapses, and they're all in trouble. And all the time, all of these countries are being put into more and more debt. The remedy for Europe at this moment, Greece is the example, is that it should take on more debt. It was 115%. The government debt was 115% of GDP, and now it's gone up to 160 and 170%, and that's in just in 1 year. Now look, there's one state in the USA which is prospering and doing very well, and it's next to Minnesota, just on the west, and it's North Dakota. And I'm going to recommend to Paul and Rollin that they look at that, because you see, North Dakota has its own bank. It has a public bank. And all the time, it can in fact borrow from its bank, either at interest, and the interest goes back and does not get ripped off to Wall Street and New York or wherever. It stays locally and within North Dakota. Now, I recommend that matter. It is an idea which is being taken up slowly, but in about 15 legislatures are starting to consider that. Because if they don't consider that matter, the future is of ever-increasing state debt, and they don't know how to get out of it unless they stop the grip of the elitist bankers, of the banker occupation, and they turn around and use their own banks, issuing the money, taking it back, and cancelling it.
Well, Professor Shakespeare, what about what our guests have said, that it's a matter of simple mathematics and just a matter of the state spending more than they have?
Well, they're not looking at the bigger issues. There is the rich-poor division. There's a shift from capital, technology shift, so that jobs are being knocked out. You have to look at all these matters, and what you mustn't do is stay 30 years in the past. The reality is at this moment that in America, rich-poor division has massively increased, and neither Paul nor Rollin can deny that. And at the same time, the amount of debt has massively increased. And America is not going to cut its military spending. I mean, if you want to talk about cutting back spending, why doesn't America stop its war on the whole of Islam? Is it seven countries it's involved in now with war? It's got its troops in 70 countries. It's got 700 bases around the world. Those two talk about cutting back spending. The one thing they won't do is to stand up and say the United States must cut its military spending. Nobody in America seems to say that.
Well, what about that now, Mr. Foote? Let's look at the possible answers to what is going on. Go ahead.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Look, I have been on Press TV for years as a Ron Paul supporter. We have repeatedly called for the immediate removal of all troops, bring him back home, end all wars. I don't know where Professor Shakespeare has been, but I have taken those positions for years. He's wrong on
that. I'll accept that and apologize.
I totally agree with him on the... I totally agree with Professor Shakespeare on the outrageous increase in the small percentage of Americans getting outrageous, undeserved sums of money. Thanks to structural problems we have, such as the typical shareholder now holds shares for anywhere from a few days to only a few years. They don't vote in the annual elections, and you basically have a lot of corporate leaders who are out of control. So yes, we have severe problems with that. I'm well aware of his suggestion about the state bank, but that's not the only reason for North Dakota's success. They have oil and other things that are helping them at the moment. In terms of Minnesota, Minnesota has to consider itself in context with other states competitively. We have a number of states who have no income taxes whatsoever. Why do you have major basketball players buying houses in Florida, for example, when they play for teams in California? Why does my cousin retire to Nevada to live? Why do small business owners move from California to Nevada? It's because of differences in taxes. The Minnesota Post has a wonderful website with a long list of recommendations and saying, okay, folks, click on these. Which cuts or which increases would you do to get the $5 billion deficit closed? I think that's a wonderful educational process. I wish more states would be doing that. Minnesota cannot act in a vacuum. It has to consider its neighbors and what happens if it changes one tax versus another.
Okay, now, we're almost out of time. Let me turn to Washington. 30 seconds, Mr. Moore. What do you think is the answer to the situation in Minnesota?
Well, look, they're going to have to resolve the political issues. The real answer for financial solvency is going to be a reduction in spending, a meaningful reduction, and other measures to make them more competitive to the business environment, like lower taxes and so forth. The state of Maryland a couple years ago put in a millionaire's tax. The following year, 35% of the millionaires that filed the year previous moved out of the state, and they got less money once they put the tax in. Taxing is not the answer, it's the problem. Texas has no income tax, and it's the most prosperous state in the union.
Okay, no and turn deficits. To London. Sorry, almost out of time. Turn to London. Professor Shakespeare, the answer. 30
very
seconds,
quick.
Please.
Very quick. I withdraw my remark in respect of Paul Foote. Yes, I do accept that he is against the military expenditures and aggressions abroad. The answer is to use the state bank mechanism for all your capital projects, state capital projects, the money being created interest-free and not at compound interest. And Dakota is, in fact, in practice, in a way, public bank, giving a lead in that respect.
And on that note, I'd like to thank all of our guests from London, Professor Rodney Shakespeare, from Irvine, California, Paul Sheldon Foote, and from Washington, Mr. Roland Amore. Thank you all for being with us. And as always, viewers, we thank you for being with us on this look at this news analysis. Join us same time, same place tomorrow as we take another look at some of tomorrow's top stories. Well, I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew here in Tehran. Thank you so much, and goodbye.